So who wants some soup? I know on a cold day like this, nothing hits the spot better than a hot bowl of soup, but I don't make it from scratch very often because I'm often too tired when I get home from work and it's easier to grab takeout or make something quick. We will learn this hour how to make soups in a hurry, within 30 minutes or less, and a much healthier soup than you can probably find on the supermarket shelf. And as an added bonus, if you're trying to follow a more plant-based diet, all of our guests' soups are vegan. No meat or dairy. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, December 5th. We will talk with the author of Soups On, the latest in the 30-minute vegan series, and we will welcome your questions and your favorite types of soup. And if they're not vegan, maybe our guest can help make them vegan. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Mark Reinfeld. He is author of the new book, Soups On. He has been preparing vegan food for more than 15 years, and he's the recipient of the 2006 Platinum Carrot Award for Living Foods, a national award given by the Aspen Center for Integral Health to America's top healthy gourmet chefs. And he is the author of the popular book series, The 30-Minute Vegan. Good morning. Oops, I always forget to push the right button. Now I have the right button pushed. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you today?
I'm good. Are you digging out from a lot of snow right now?
Yes, there's quite a bit of snow out here in Colorado right now.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Are you guys digging out as well?
Northern Wisconsin is. Southern Wisconsin, where I am in Madison, not any snow yet, but it's cold and snow is on the way. And whenever it's cold and snow is on the way, I start thinking about soups.
Great. Well, we're on the right topic today, then.
That's right. So you, I want to get it, I guess, get it on the table right now. If people aren't vegan, why should they even listen?
Well, basically, most people realize that having more fresh fruits and vegetables in their diet is a good thing. It's recommended by pretty much every major health and medical organization. So it's not something where it has to be an all-or-nothing affair. It could be just having a plant-based soup once a week or twice a week. So that's what I like to encourage people, is just to show them how easy it is to create amazing meals, and just by including more plants in their diet, which most people, I think, would agree having some more fresh fruits and veggies would be a good thing for them.
Yeah, I'm not a vegan, but I'm mostly vegetarian. I do still have limited dairy products, and once in a great while, I still try some seafood, but I more and more follow a plant-based diet than anything else. But I'm not a big soup maker because I can make a minestrone soup. That's one I can make. But sometimes they just seem to take so long. How do you manage to do this in less than 30 minutes?
Well, basically just simplifying the process is how I can create it in 30 minutes or less. And there's really a lot of flavors that you can bring out in that time frame. And so I've developed a way. I teach workshops and trainings around the country and over the last several years. And during those trainings, I've developed these techniques of recipe development that help people look at how easy it is to create the recipes in 30 minutes or less.
Yeah. Well, what is the secret? Is it a pre-made stock?
No, actually. Well, you could use the stock to help, but I refer to this as a template recipe format, where basically you can look at one recipe and see how you can actually create hundreds of recipes from it. And by doing that, what you do is you break the recipe down into different component parts. And by changing each component part, you create a new dish. So most soups start with the base, which, like you mentioned, is a stock. If you don't use a stock, you could use things like onion, celery, garlic, and carrots as the base. And really that, with water and seasoning, can create a good working point for your soups.
Mm-hmm. And the template is something that you just can mix and match or you use that for what can you break down what the template is?
Sure, sure. Let's take a broccoli soup, for instance. So say if you have onion, celery, garlic, and water in a pot, that would be called the base. I would call that the base. And then the broccoli, if we added broccoli, I would consider that the vegetable component. Now, if you looked at a recipe for broccoli soup and you didn't have broccoli, but you had cauliflower, you might think that you couldn't make that soup, but actually that broccoli could be replaced with cauliflower, zucchini, corn, any assortment of vegetables. So rather than looking at it as broccoli, you can look at it as just the vegetable component. So you can rotate that. And then I encourage people to make different ethnic spice blends as a quick and easy tip. So it's something you could do on your least busy day. Is you can make an Italian mix, a Mexican mix, an Indian mix, a Moroccan mix, the list goes on. And then just by changing those spice blends, you're going to create a whole new soup. And then with vegan soups, the trick is how to get that real creaminess in soups. And there's a lot of different techniques that we use. So blending soups with cashews or macadamia nuts or almonds or hazelnuts are different ways to create a creamy soup. And you can also use other plant-based milks like coconut milk or some of the other amazing plant milks that are on the market like soy, rice, or hemp milk.
Mm-hmm. So are there non-vegan ingredients that some people might miss, don't even, you know what I mean?
And basically the food science and all this has come so far in the last 10 or 15 years even that most of the flavors that people are accustomed to with animal products could be easily created with plant-based products. And like liquid smoke, for instance, is one that I like to use instead of using like a ham or pork in soups, which some people like in split pea soup or some Asian soups. There's a lot you can do with plants to create the flavors and textures that we're accustomed to.
All right, so what's your favorite vegan soup today?
I usually like making, well, there's actually a lot, but I'll to narrow it down. I like making a creamy broccoli soup, actually, using toasted cashews blended in with the broccoli, onion, celery, garlic, and that creates a real amazing creaminess to it. I also love using coconut milk as a base in soups, and from there you have all your Thai soups, and I like using coconut milk and yams or sweet potatoes is an amazing combination. So having some coconut milk in with the stock or the water base creates just a real creamy grounding soup.
We are talking with Mark Reinfeld. He is the author of the 30-Minute Vegan Soups on Cookbook. And we are welcoming your questions for him. We are welcoming your favorite kinds of soups. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So would you give a vegan soup a try? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, coming up on 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, December 5th. And with cold weather here again in Wisconsin, we are now in soup season, and we are talking about some tasty soup recipes and how we can get more plant-based soups on the menu with our guest, Mark Reinfeld, who is the author of the 30-Minute Vegan series. His latest is Soups On, and we are talking about some of the more than 100 quick and easy recipes for every season. 1-800-642-1234. If you'd like to join in with the kind of soup you're craving right now or that you would like to have for dinner tonight, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You know, Gary on Facebook, Mark, says, I might have had some vegan soup at one time or another, but I'm pretty sure that I added meat to it in order to make it tasty and nutritious. We got a couple of comments along those lines. People who like their meat. You're saying that maybe you could give Gary a recipe where he wouldn't miss the meat.
Well, let's see. There's, like you mentioned, there are lots of soups out there for different people, and many people have actually had vegan soups without realizing it. So sometimes if you've had like a gazpacho or say a miso soup, those are actually plant-based soups sometimes by nature. And for the meat-based soups, like you mentioned, what people really look for a lot is just this heartiness. And so for the book, we have a lot of different stews to include. And so something like a minestrone and using like roasted root vegetables, which is another way to create heartiness in soups. And also sometimes I like to use what's called analog products, which are products that are meant to replicate the taste and texture of animal products. So like there's some good plant-based sausages on the market right now. So there's some soups that include that, or even like a beef flavor replicating products as well. So a lot of times I'll incorporate those in the soups, and many times people can't tell, especially with the creamy soups. In the creamy soup section, there's most people just could never tell that there wasn't animal products in it.
Is it, you may not be a registered dietitian or nutritionist, but if I would use soy or products or plant based sausages in my soup, is my soup going to be any healthier than a soup that uses real sausages?
Well, I would say yes. I mean, I think things like the saturated fat content and also the cholesterol component of animal products. And again, what I'm encouraging people is just to start to include more plants in their diet, rather than some people are ready to make the full switch over to a plant-based diet. And, you know, I encourage that as well. I think for lightening the animal product load in our diet, I think is in most people's best interest. So some of those products may not in and of themselves be health foods, but I like to refer to them as transitional products. So maybe the vegan sausage on the market might not be as healthy as, say, like a fresh carrot or broccoli or something like that. But if you're looking to go down on the animal products, which if people are interested and do some research, you see that a lot of heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, obesity, a lot of the things that are plaguing our society right now health-wise are actually, in my opinion, are food-based diseases, and that by making these changes to our diet, you can see really remarkable results. Like I mentioned, I do these trainings around the country, and actually Madison is one of my hot spots to visit. My sister and some friends live in Madison, so I do go to Madison to teach workshops and trainings as well. And in those trainings, I just see people coming off cholesterol medication, diabetes medication, people's weight just dropping naturally without dieting. So I'm a full proponent of including more plants for health reasons as well as environmental reasons.
What about his thought that it would be more nutritious with meat in it, in terms of, I think he's probably thinking protein. Are we getting enough protein if we're always having vegan soups or a vegan diet?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's usually the top question that people ask, and there's a variety of reasons why there's that, what I consider a misunderstanding about the protein, and really, you can get all your protein needs and more through plants, and for anyone questioning that, I encourage you to check out veganbodybuilding.com, which is a site that features bodybuilders, there's vegans who are winning ultra marathons and mixed martial artists and tennis pros and hockey players, football players. And it's really just a myth that we grew up with, but now it's kind of a myth that's being debunked, and world-class athletes and pretty much most people, when they look into it, realize that we can get all of our protein needs and more through plants. So I feel that plants provide us the optimal nutrition.
Yeah, are there certain components in a plant-based diet that have more protein than others, or do we just eat a bunch of vegetables and we'll get our protein?
Well, that's another good question. Actually, every food has protein, and so even fruits do have protein. For the higher protein foods, you do want to look to the legumes like lentils and beans, and also soy products and nuts and seeds. Those are all like the power packed protein sources. So to me, the question is more, are we having too much protein rather than not enough? A protein deficiency is very rare, and especially just with the modern diet now. And it's, to me, it's just very clear, like, that we can meet all of our nutritional needs on a plant-based diet. And it's actually also the opinion of the American Dietetic Association, is that all of the body's needs can be met on a plant-based diet through every stage of the life cycle, including infancy, pregnancy, all of our life, basically.
Yeah. What about quinoa? I think I saw some recipes where you use that. Is that that's a grain, but it has protein,
right?
Quinoa,
actually, thank you for bringing that up. That's one of my top favorite foods. It's referred to as the ancient grain when it's botanically, it's actually a seed, but it is a high protein, really tasty. It's sold as a grain, so I'll refer to it as a grain, and it's used basically as you would use rice. And it, I was traveling in Peru in the Andes, and I got to see it growing there out in the wild. It's a beautiful plant and has complete protein and an amazing nutritional profile.
Yeah. 1-800-642-1234 is our number if you would like to ask a question about a vegan diet, or if you have a soup that you would like to share, a favorite soup, even if it's not vegan. Maybe our guest, Mark Reinfeldt, can help make it vegan. He is the author of the popular book series, The 30-Minute Vegan, and his latest book is on soups. Soups on. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page, the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, I know I've told you that I like to make minestrone soup, so I know how to make that. Do you maybe have an interesting twist to a vegetable soup, a minestrone soup?
Well, that minestrone is a great example of what do you have on hand type of soup. So, and if you travel through Italy, I do culinary tours as well internationally, and so I've been in Italy and in kitchens in Italy, and it's pretty much whatever the grandmother had on hand is what made it into the traditional minestrone soup. So that's like a hearty soup where you can add any kind of pasta to it, of the smaller pastas like macaroni style pasta. And personally, I like using rice pasta now a lot of times. Then also the vegetable component. So that's actually a good example of a template recipe, because looking at it as a template, you could say, well, there's pasta in it, so let me rotate through all these different kinds of pastas that I have. And then there's usually a legume in it, like a kidney bean or a chickpea or a bean that you could then rotate through. And even if maybe you don't have a chickpea or a kidney bean, if you have like a pinto bean or a cannellini bean or something that you could just replace the bean component. And then vegetables, there's a wide range of vegetables that are used in minestrone. So zucchini is a popular one, and carrots and tomatoes, of course. And really, I just encourage people to get creative in the kitchen. So if you have leftover cauliflower, which may not be in all your minestrones, but you could put that in there as well.
Wow, that sounds great. It really does. And it is my favorite soup. We have just a minute before we do take a news break. And now I woke callers up and they're calling in. But the soup's on. When's your next culinary tour to Italy? I'm coming.
Well, I'll be in Europe next in July. And actually, I'll be in Madison in June doing a 2-day workshop and a teacher training. I like to teach people how to teach classes in their own community. And Madison's one of my favorite spots to visit, so I'll be there in June.
Well, we'll get the dates and the info on that visit, and maybe put it up on our Facebook page. We'll check news, and then we will continue talking about soup, vegan soups, with Mark Reinfeld, who is the author of the 30-Minute Vegan Soups On Cookbook. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. Our guest this hour is the author of the 30-Minute Vegan series, and we are talking with him about his latest Soups On. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, December 5th. We are talking about vegan soups, plant-based soups, soups that don't contain any meat or dairy. And if you have a question about how you might make vegan soups, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Mark Reinfeld. He is the author of the new book, Soups On. He has been preparing vegan food for more than 15 years. He's the recipient of the Platinum Carrot Award for Living Foods. And he is the author of the popular book series, The 30-Minute Vegan. And he conducts classes and workshops and seminars all over the country, including coming to Wisconsin in June. We'll post his website on our Facebook page, and then you can check out some of his other activities. And maybe if the dates for the Madison appearance are there, you can find him there. Well, let's take some calls. We do have people waiting, and Sally in Madison is with us. Hello, Sally.
Good morning. I have a husband who follows Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn's diet, and that includes no oil and no nuts for him. And so I wanted to find out if when you start with your base of the onion and the garlic, if you at all, many recipes have you soften them a bit in oil before you add other ingredients. And I wanted to know if you just put them in the water. My husband won't eat stock. So I wanted to know if you just soften them in water or if there's anything else you do in preparing this.
Is there a substitute for oil, Mark?
That's a wonderful question. I do address that in the book. There's a lot of different dietary preferences, and no oil, especially no heated oil, is something that's becoming for people, especially concerned about heart health, is to eliminate the oil. There's a couple of things. One is called the water saute method, and so you can actually put the onion, celery, and garlic in the pot with just a tiny bit of water and then saute it as if you were using oil. In some instances, if you could use actually no oil at all and just do that saute, and you can get a little caramelizing effect. But it was interesting when I was developing the recipes for the soups, I actually wound up just not putting the oil in and just cutting the vegetables up and adding them to the water, and they taste amazing. Some people, if they want that oily flavor and texture, you could add a little bit of oil even at the end of the process to go get away from the heated oil. But a lot of the soups are completely oil-free. And my recipe testers can attest to the fact that you don't miss the oil. So I usually list that as an optional step.
Thank you. And so caramelizing isn't an issue at all?
You don't get the same full caramelizing that you could if you do like a long saute in oil. But as far as the flavor of the final soup, if you follow the recipes, you'll find that you really don't miss the oil at all.
Thanks for calling, Sally. Good luck. Jan in Duluth is with us. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Joy. Good morning. It's colder than heck up here.
Are you have a couple feet of snow on the ground or not quite?
Yeah, well, it was real wet, so it settled. Oh. You know, it kind of settled. But my question is, I'm so hungry for onion soup, and the part I like best is the gooey cheese on top. What can I substitute for the gooey cheese?
Oh, French onion soup.
That's another great question, and there's a couple of ways to work with that, too. One is, there's the vegan soup, the vegan cheese world has come a long way over the last 15 years. There's some amazing products on the market. Daiya Cheese is an incredible brand. And it used to be that the vegan cheeses tasted like the byproduct of the eraser manufacturing process. But now, actually, they have really great cheeses, and there's even books on artisan vegan cheeses to create that cheesy flavor that we all love. Another product that I like to use is called nutritional yeast, and that's basically, it's a plant, it's grown on molasses, and it's a high source of B vitamins and protein, and so it really rounds out the vegan diet. And as a chef, I use it because it does create this nutty and cheesy flavor. So to get the real deep, cheesy flavor, I would recommend experimenting with some of the plant-based cheeses on the market, or using the nutritional yeast is something personally that I like to do to create that cheesy flavor.
So the yeast creates the flavor, but not a gooey topping on French onion soup, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't give you that gooiness. For the gooiness, there's using the plant-based cheeses on the market. I also would sometimes use a cashew-based cheese. You could blend cashews, and that creates a base with, if you add the nutritional yeast to it, that can give you some of that cheesy flavor.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I thought you were done. I was going to ask the brand of vegan cheese that you said was really good.
Daiya cheese, D-A-Y-A, and it's actually cassava based instead of soy based, so it's a soy free cheese, and I use it in, like, my last book was Taste of Europe, and we were talking about Europe. I traveled around experimenting over there, and I use that, the vegan cheese, in a lot of the Italian dishes and French dishes, and a lot of people can't tell the difference, especially when it's added into things like a soup. Or like the book has a cheesy cauliflower soup that I use that diet cheese in, and I would challenge any of your listeners to be able to tell that there wasn't cheese in it. So It's really come a long way. Some of the cheeses aren't as good as others, so that's why I encourage you to try the Daiya brand is really amazing.
All right, Jen?
Yeah, I didn't even know there was vegan cheese. So.
Yeah, there you go, the revelation.
Yeah, I have to admit, I picked up some vegan cheese not that long ago, and it was okay. It wasn't, It wasn't outstanding, but I don't think it was that particular brand that you mentioned either.
Yeah, it's like the same thing goes with soy milk. There's a lot of different flavors on the market, so some people will try one and get turned off and then never try it again, so there's probably like 12 different kinds of soy milk on the market, and well, some of them have better flavors than others, and some maybe more flavors that you're accustomed to.
Yeah, I have to try soy milk again. I had the bad experience of not liking it at first, and now I'll try almond milk and rice milk, and I'm not minding it. I'm still not in love with it, but I'm seeing
soy
more and
dream.
More. What's that?
Soy Dream is a good good brand of soy milk that has a good, really creamy flavor.
Okay.
And hemp milk is another new kind of milk on the market that people are enjoying.
I'm going to try. I have not tried hemp. I'm seeing more and more coconut milk. And you mentioned using the coconut milk that's in the dairy case for soups.
Yeah, that's like the ultra decadent. Well, there's different types of coconut milk on the market. The ones that are in the can give you that real creamy, like, super creamy flavor. The ones that are sold in the aseptic packages are a little more thinned out, but you can still get that nice flavor. And I was in Hawaii for about 10 years, and I've come to revere the coconut, so I love using it in the soups.
And you moved from Hawaii to Colorado.
Well, I travel. I've been traveling actually the last 4 years teaching these workshops and trainings, and I'm actually in the process of relocating to Miami, but I still have a very robust travel schedule, and I just love showing people how easy it is to make this world-class cuisine. A lot of people have heard of the benefits of including more plants in their diet, but are a little confused as to how to do it, especially in a fast way, and to have it come out good. So I work with people, and I'm actually working with Swimming Christie in Madison to do teacher trainings as well. So there'll be some vegan fusion classes more often in Madison.
Good. We are talking with Mark Reinfeld. He is the author of The 30-Minute Vegan, Soups On. And we're talking about soups this hour and vegan soups. And we're welcoming your favorite soups. We're welcoming your questions about how to make more plant-based soups, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. If you have a favorite soup that contains meat or dairy or some other animal-based product, perhaps Mark can turn you on to a different way of making that and give you some new ideas for soups that we can try with this cold weather settling in. The book contains more than 100 recipes for quick, easy soup preparation, less than 30 minutes, 30 minutes or less. We're talking about the winter soups, but there are certainly soups that are cold and soups for every season in this book. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December 5th. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Mark Reinfeld, who is author of Soups On, the latest in the 30-Minute Vegan series. And we're welcoming your questions and your favorite soups and your tips, your thoughts, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you have a favorite vegan soup? Do you have a soup that's not vegan, but maybe you would like to make it vegan? Let's go to Sam in Evansville next. Hello, Sam.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to call and mention a vegan chili that my fiance and I make.
Nice.
It's delicious. No need for meat at all. It's just lots of onions and garlic. We put in kidney beans and black beans with some quinoa and lots of peppers. We put zucchini in, carrots, celery, and then it's just smoked cumin and chili powder. It's amazing. And you top it all off with chopped up green onions and avocado slices.
Ooh.
Absolutely amazing. Really, really filling.
Awesome. Yeah, chilies, that's a great soup to mention. It's for the warmer, colder months and just really hearty. And things also like tempeh, which is a soy product, are good in chilies that give it that meaty texture.
I
like to, say veganize it is a good term to use to create what, like you're inviting your listeners to come up with their animal-based product dishes, and it's like your caller just mentioned, it's very easy to veganize them.
Mm-hmm. Sam, that sounds amazing. I love that. I do make a vegan chili too, and I find this is, I just use what I have. I mean, right. Certainly always whatever beans are around, but I'll do the kitchen sink, you know, every vegetable that I have in the refrigerator, kind of like what you're talking about with minestrone, Mark.
Yeah, and here's one of my top ingredients is chipotle chili powder, which is smoked jalapenos, and it's adds a spiciness and a smoky flavor, and that's really good in any Mexican themed soup such as chili.
One of the my comfort foods, and I think a lot of people have this as a comfort food, is tomato soup. And instead of going and getting Campbell's tomato soup at the grocery store, it's got a real creaminess to it, so I'm assuming that there's a milk in there, some sort of a cream in there. How can we make a vegan creamy tomato soup?
Great question, and I also want to. You definitely can, and I actually have two versions of tomato soup in the book. One is a raw version, and one is a cooked version. And raw food cuisine is an emerging field in the culinary world, and so there's a whole section on raw soups for the warmer climate, warmer months. But that's where you use for the cooked tomato soup. I like using, there's actually a soy creamer that I like to use that you can use a coconut-based creamer or a soy-based creamer, and it adds just this real amazing, just lovely creaminess flavor to the soup, and you just would never know there's no dairy in it.
And then I could have a grilled a vegan cheese sandwich on the side.
Exactly, yeah. One thing, I like referring to this book as Vegan Soups for the Chicken Soul, and just to show people, again, like all of these traditional favorites that people have, really there's no soup that you can come up with that can't be veganized. And in creating the book, I strive to include pretty much every fruit and vegetable that you'll find in the supermarket. So whatever you have on hand, you can look in the index and see that there's an amazing plant-based soup that you can create.
Joseph asks, and you just said you did, a tomato, but maybe you can share another. Do you have any raw food cold soup recipes?
Well, actually, there's a full section on raw soups in there. So I do the raw cream of tomato. I do fruit-based soups. So you can do I have a raw peaches and cream, raw papaya soup, a cantaloupe soup with blueberry cream. I also have some nut-based soups that use Brazil nuts or almonds to create that plant-based milk. There's a gazpacho in there with saffron, cucumber mint. I do a raw corn chowder as well, which is really popular. And I like to do cooked and raw versions of soup so people can see the difference in how cooking alters the flavor.
Joseph on Facebook says, vegan soups are the best. There we go. We got one.
I concur.
After being vegan for a time, your taste buds improve, and you can taste many more subtle flavors. Is that true, Mark?
I definitely agree, and it's also interesting because people feel that by like going vegan, they're limiting the foods that they will enjoy, and actually what happens is you wind up getting more creative. So I do feel that your palate gets more refined. If I grew up eating McDonald's and Burger King and, you know, outside of a Big Mac and fries and a Coke, you know, your taste buds don't have too much room to go there. But if you start working with different ethnic cuisines and using different spice blends, you can really refine your palate and you start noticing a lot more of the flavors.
Well, a lot of people are commenting now on Facebook. Ned says, my favorite soup of all time is at a restaurant in Madison, the Weary Traveler. That is a good place. It is a coconut milk-based Thai soup, and it's called Tom Kha Tofu.
I actually do have a version. Actually, I have two versions of the Thai coconut soup, a cooked version and a raw version. And it's, again, coconut milk is one of my go-to ingredients. And you really, you're starting off in a really good place if you have a coconut base for your soup. So in Thai cuisine, you use different, like, distinctive ingredients like lemongrass or kefir lime leaves and a galangal root, which help create the flavors that you're used to in a Thai restaurant. Thai basil is another popular ingredient.
Yum. Let's see. Well, I wanted to ask you about squash because it's so plentiful right now and so yummy. Some ideas for a squash-based soup?
That's all great questions. And there's two, you can do a lot with squash, obviously, and the different kinds of squash. So I have like a curried pumpkin soup, which uses pumpkin. There's a roasted squash soup, which is roasting squashes. Another one of the top techniques I like to use. And so you can roast, you can cook your soup, like your onion, celery, garlic, carrots, in your pot while you're roasting the squash. And then you can blend it all together, and that gives you a nice depth of flavor. And I'm a big fan of the coconut squash combination. So you could add coconut milk to that, or even just creating a coconut milk base and adding chopped squash in it and let the squash cook in the soup gives an amazing flavor. And you actually, for a squash like butternut squash, you actually don't need to peel it, which a lot of people don't know. The skin in most vegetables has a lot of nutrients, so I tend to leave the skins on.
Well, we only have a minute to go, and Tom emails, what could we do with the extra time if we had it? Wondering if we could make our soups even better if we had more than 30 minutes to make them.
Well, definitely. Like the flavors will mature a little, and sometimes your soups will even taste better the next day. And since we do have limited time, I just encourage people to check out veganfusion.com, which has, I do have recipes up there, and a newsletter where I send out free recipes, and my schedule events, including the Madison workshop in June, is up there.
Great.
So if you have extra time, you can spend it checking out other books.
I love it, Mark.
Enjoy the time with your family.
Yeah. Mark, thank you so much for being with us. We'll put your website on our website so people can find it there as well. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joy. I would love to see you at the workshop.
I hope to be there. Mark Reinfeld is the author of The 30-Minute Vegan, Soups On. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.